Hi there, welcome back to the podcast. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be going into the letter to the Romans, specifically into chapters 6 to 8. Now, Romans is a defense of Paul's mission to the nations, his defense for going worldwide. The gospel has come for all and for free, and now it needs to go into the world. So in Romans 6 to 8, Paul is showing how the gospel is the solution to everything that we should have been. So let's dive into this amazing letter now and see what it has to say. So as I said, we're in Romans 6 this evening, and hopefully it means that's no surprise to you that it comes after Romans chapter 5. Because Romans chapter 5 is the big gospel declaration that, if you look back to verse 17 of that chapter, "For if by the trespass of the one man," that's Adam, "death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who received God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ." It's an amazing grace that has been shown, as we just sang, an amazing gospel. And that's the amazing gospel that Paul wants to take, as we saw last Sunday, to the ends of the earth. Through Jesus, the gospel has come to all, for all, for free. There's two big points Paul wanted to make up until this point. The gospel is for all, the gospel is for free. And it's all because of what Jesus has done. My question for us this evening is, do we realise how big a deal that is? There is no person in this entire world, no one outside these doors in Hemel Hempstead, no one in the entire world who this gospel is not for, that this gospel is not good news for. From the highest to the lowest, the gospel is for absolutely everyone. And there's nothing you can do to earn this gospel, this grace. There's no law keeping. There's no level of morality. It's completely, it's totally, it's unequivocally free. Just let that run through your mind for a few moments. Paul has taken five chapters of Romans to explain this and to lay his case out. The gospel is for all and it's for free. Sounds good, doesn't it? Well, it is good. But that should leave us with a question. And that's the very first sentence that Danny read for us, the very first line of Romans chapter 6. The question then, shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Now, you might have been on the receiving end of a skeptic, or you might have had this thought yourself. The gospel is for all, the gospel is for free, but doesn't that mean that encourages people to sin? If you could live out the most heinous life imaginable and then turn to Christ on your deathbed, why not do that? In fact, Paul's just said in chapter 5, verse 20, that where sin increases, grace increases all the more. So wouldn't it be better to just carry on sinning? If it shows God's amazing grace all the more, surely we can just demonstrate that by being bigger sinners. Then God can forgive bigger sins and be more glorious. How would you answer that question? Shall we go on sinning? It may sound perverse to you, but there are people who use this line as a reason to carry on in the way they live. For example, you might have heard of a famous Russian guy, Izzy's at least heard of him, called Rasputin. He was a real person. But Rasputin in Russia, he built a whole lifestyle around the idea that you carry on sinning so that grace may increase. He was a monk, if you didn't know that, with that idea. That's what he thought the Bible was saying. But Rasputin's problem was that he'd never read Romans chapter 6. And in reality, he didn't really grasp the gospel. Because the answer's there in verse 2. You only have to read a little bit further on. Paul gives the answer to his question. Verse 2, Paul says, "By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Absolutely not. By no means. No, no, no." Paul is saying that if you know what the gospel has done, you'll know that the gospel gives you every reason to walk in the newness of life. In fact, Paul answers it even more strongly than that. He basically says, don't you realise you have died? Don't you realise you have died? And so Paul lays out three things we ought to know. You can see those three things through the passage, three things that Paul says we need to know, three things that are going to help knowing, or things that knowing will help us to answer this objection. And these three things are all things to do with our status. Shall we go on sinning is the question. The answer is no. Our status is not like that. Our relationship with sin is over. You've taken it off. You've laid it aside. Through the gospel, you're in a new relationship with Christ. So let's have a look at these three things then we should know about our status. The first thing there, verse 3. Paul says, "Or do you not know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" The first thing we should know, those baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. Now, we've spoken about union with Christ here at Christ Church before, or we called the sermon series Joined with Jesus. At least that's what the website says. Some people in our reading group have read a book about union with Christ, and it's a major theme in the New Testament. In essence, to sum up in one pithy sentence, where Jesus goes, you go too. And that's Paul's big point here. Since Jesus has died, we have died too. That's a point that's going to become more important as the letter develops. And baptism, as you can see in verse 4, is connected to being united to Christ. As someone goes under the water, it's as if they have died with Christ. In fact, the New Testament ties baptism and conversion so tightly together that you can't get one without the other. The two can't be separated. It takes you, talking of baptism, right back to the beginning of the Christian walk. So Paul can point to baptism, that moment of our conversion, as a moment when we're united to Christ. Through the gospel, through the amazing good news that Paul has explained, we die with Christ. And in doing so, we have died to sin. That's what Paul said back in verse 2, isn't it? And here we're seeing it explained. Having died, we can now live a new life. A life that is not lived for sin, but a life that is lived for God. By dying with Christ, we are now enabled to live for God. So shall we carry on sinning? No. It would completely miss the point. And the next thing Paul wants us to know, verse 6-7, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin." You see, similar to the previous point, this time Paul wants us to focus specifically in on that death part, in particular, in on the crucifixion of Jesus. The old self, we heard that this morning, didn't we, in Ephesians. The old self here in Romans is ourselves connected back to Adam. In our natural state, you could read that phrase actually as our old man. It's saying man there to specifically point to Adam. In our old man, in our body of sin, as Paul says later in that sentence, we were enslaved to sin. You see, sin is more than just the bad things we do. In fact, here Paul's personifying it, making it like a person, making it sound like a ruler, as a master. You see, everything we did for our master sin. And it takes something drastic to break those chains, to release us. Something as drastic as death, as a crucifixion, for instance. And that is what has happened. Through the gospel, being united to Christ, being united to Christ, our old man, our old self, has been crucified with him so that we are no longer slaves to sin. So ask the question again, shall we go on sinning? Well, no, we've put that off. The gospel has crucified our old self with Christ. We are not living for, we are not living to, we are not enslaved by sin any longer. And the final thing Paul has here for us to know is there in verses 8-10. "Now, if we died with Christ, we believe, or we know, that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has any mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So not only are we united to Christ in his death, and so being released from the power of sin, we're also united to Christ in his resurrection. And what flows from that? Well, we saw it back in verse 4, and it comes up again in verse 11. We have a new relationship with God. We are alive to him. And so we walk in new ways. You see, we can often think to ourselves, or society around us can say to us, that freedom comes from being released from slavery from one person to being under no one. But that's not how the Bible addresses the topic. Just think back to Exodus, for example. Moses took the people out of the service of Pharaoh and let them roam in the wilderness. No, he took them out of the service of Pharaoh into the service of God. As a previous pastor of mine would say, Bob Dylan says, you've got to serve somebody. And here it's the same. Through his death, Christ has rescued us from the power of sin, from the power of death, to live to God. So rather than doing everything now for sin, we do everything for God. I won't quote Brian Adams at that point. That's another week. You wait. So shall we go on sinning? No. Your status is not like that. The gospel has freed you from sin so that we can now live to God. Great. Thanks, Dave. That's an interesting lesson there. What does it mean for us? So what? That's the big question, isn't it? So what? Well, Paul lays that out for us. Verses 11 to 13. So in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you will obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. We are to count ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. At the cross, Jesus has done everything needed for us to be free from the mastery of sin. And in light of that, we should count ourselves alive to God. We should, in the light of the gospel, live for God. One of the things I think it's common for us as seasoned Christians to do is to forget who we're serving. Let me underline it. We are alive to God in Christ Jesus. That means we should know and we should recognize that this is true. And in light of those things, in light of the renewing of our mind, we should let it drive our actions. And that would mean, verse 12, that we don't let sin reign in our bodies, because there's an active war going on. You might have heard me say something like this, or you might have heard Paul seem to say this, that sin is now done with, so don't worry anymore, live that victorious life. But I'm not saying that. Paul's not saying that. Paul's not Rasputin, as he said at the start. Instead, he realizes this is going to be an ongoing issue. In fact, he's going to come back to it in chapter 7. We may be done with sin ourselves, but sin is not done with us. There is a war going on. In fact, that war is what Paul's getting at in verse 13. Let me read it one more time. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who've been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. When I hear the word instrument, I think music. That's not what the word means here. The word instrument here means weapon. In the fight between the two masters or the two kings, sin and God, don't be a weapon, don't be an instrument on the side of sin. To be fair, it's the losing side. In fact, it's already lost. So as we go into a new week, we need to remind ourselves of that daily. Instead of obeying the evil desires, we need to offer ourselves to God as those who've been brought from death to life. Offer every part of yourself to him. Your eyes, your mind, your tongues, you can go on. Don't use those for sinful purposes. Use them for God. As the temptation to gossip about someone behind their back, say to yourself, my relationship with sin is over. As you're tempted to look or to think about something sinful, remind yourself, I am dead to sin. Where things seem tempting this week, remind yourself that your relationship with sin is over. And remind yourself what you have through the gospel. We have been united with Christ in his death and united to Christ in his resurrection. So, verse 14, for sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. The gospel is amazing news, isn't it? News that should go out into all the world, for all, for free. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer?
I hope you found that helpful and edifying. If you have any feedback or questions, feel free to reach out to me via email. The details are in the show notes. But until next time, let's keep praising God this week.